Philippi. And so this is part of his letter. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The title of my message this morning is "Time to Press In." It's time to press in. If there ever was a time then to stay spiritually alert and focused, and as Paul says in our text, to press toward the mark, how many know it's now? And if you've kept up with the current events at all, how many know we are living in unprecedented times? We have a president who, in spite of his personal flaws and in spite of all the haters, has brought in many Americans to believe in America again, and that it's okay to make America great again and put America first. And I know I've said this a lot lately. I personally believe that we have been given a window of time to do as much as we can for the kingdom of God. We know we have an enemy called the devil who wants to take us out. And through time, he has worked to bring America down. But God, would you just say that with me? But God. It's not time to sit back on our laurels, but we have to become more aggressive than ever before. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, Jesus spoke these words: "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Listen, as we go through the year 2021, we're going to have to find that to accomplish some things, it's going to take some aggressiveness and some assertiveness on our part. In order to get what you even desire, you're going to have to put forth some effort. You're going to have to be willing then to go against the current. You're going to have some old-fashioned gumption. And if you haven't discovered this yet, you will. The ones that win in life are the ones that are willing to fight for what they want. We find in the Bible when the giant named Goliath defied the children of Israel. Listen to what David said to King Saul, 1 Samuel 17:32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." That word "fight," as it is used there, is translated to make war, or to overcome, or to prevail, or to engage in battle. But listen to this other definition. It means to eat or use as food. Do you remember the story of Joshua and Caleb? When speaking of the giants, they came across when searching out their promised land. They said, "They are bread to us, or for us." So we see David was willing to fight. Joshua and Caleb were willing to fight. But how about us as believers? Did you know that there are basically two classes of Christians in the church today? They are those proactive Christians, and there are also those reactive Christians. And you will find that the most Christians alive today that most Christians live very reactive lives. Meaning they're always on the defensive, always reacting to the attacks of the enemy and what people are saying. Do you know Paul wrote over half of the New Testament? He could never have been the great apostle that he was by living a reactive life. If you learn anything from Paul's writings, it is that he was always the aggressor. His entire ministry was on the front line, pushing the enemy back. He was always wanting to take the light into the darkness, never content to just be comfortable and satisfied among other believers. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, 11, and 12, Paul speaks of the warfare of the believer, requiring a full-out effort on our part. Finally, he says, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we know that is so. We know as Christians, it is not then a flesh and blood battle that we fight each day. But there is, without a question, a spiritual war going on with an enemy who is out to steal the souls of men. So we as believers, we are to be the aggressor in that battle. Did you notice in this portion of Scripture how many times Paul uses the word against in relationship to our warfare against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places? Then Paul uses the word stand against. This is an aggressive word. When you take a stand, listen, you are an opposing force. In today's world, when you stand against abortion or alternative lifestyles or substance abuse or domestic abuse or child abuse, you are being the aggressor. And guess what? Your stand will make you then an enemy of unrighteousness. And so we find too many of God's people living reactive lives. They don't stand for anything, and they're not standing against anything. They're always trying to recover from an attack instead of launching their own attack. When you look at the life of Jesus, then, you never find him being reactive. Everywhere Jesus went, he was the initiator, meaning he was on the offense. He was the aggressor, always invading enemy territory, pushing back the darkness. When the prophet Elijah met the false prophets of Baal and wicked King Ahab on Mount Carmel, he, speaking of Elijah, was the aggressor. Elijah was the one who issued the challenge, and Elijah was the one who set the terms of the challenge. When David met Goliath, David was the aggressor. He did not sit idly by. What did he do? Well, Brother North mentioned it Wednesday night at our prayer service. He ran to meet Goliath. David pushed the issue. The problem then with so many in the church today is that they are living such lukewarm and prayerless and wordless and passionate lives that they are now afraid to initiate anything because they are afraid that they cannot back it up. How sad is that? Again, one of the greatest secrets of Paul's life was that he lived, Brother Tony, aggressively. Listen now, as we go through 2021, if you are going to experience the power of God and see then the glory of God manifested on our behalf in these last days that we are living in, we're going to have to go on the offense against the works of darkness. Oh, I hope you're hearing me today. We're going to have to believe this old book called the Bible and take God at his word. We must learn to press the issues and learn how to live aggressively, or we will find ourselves then living in defeat. Even in the natural, we learn in football. football and other sports, that in order to score, you must go on the offensive. You must put pressure on the opposition. So as believers, when we learn to live aggressively, we're going to find that we can be waging war all the time. By living aggressively for God, listen, you'll be continually pushing back the works of darkness. When you live your life in a bold, aggressive spirit, you become, watch this now, a threat to hell itself. I'm not talking about laying hands on everybody. I'm not talking about looking for a devil behind every pole, or speaking in tongues so somebody can just hear you, or quoting scripture out loud in the grocery aisle. No. But did you know even a simple smile can destroy hostility? An act of kindness can stop anger or depression in its tracks. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Did you know then that the devil hates aggressive Christians? Aggressive believers prove the word of God is true. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we should not then hesitate to pray aggressively, or praise aggressively, or sing aggressively, or give aggressively, love aggressively. What are you doing then? You're putting some fire in your actions. Jesus said, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. That means he was on fire about the things of the kingdom, Sister Cherry. How on fire then can we be about the things of the kingdom? Again, Paul said, I reach forth unto those things which are before me. And I press, Sister Becky, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, there is a mentality that has invaded the church that the Christian life is just a big marathon race. Basically speaking, you are guaranteed to win just by signing up. This was never the attitude of the scriptures. The Bible tells us clearly that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent taketh it by force, and that we must lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and run this race before us, and that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and that we are to put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man. In fact, Matthew 7:14 states it this way, that straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus said that he would rather we were hot or cold, but if we were lukewarm, listen, he said he would spew us out of his mouth. You don't win the war just by joining the army. Understand with me, there's some training that we have to go through. There's some discipline to learn and some fighting that we have to do for sure. That means then it's going to cost you something. Why do you suppose that is? Because there's a devil who hates us and wants to destroy our destiny and to destroy our life and destroy the very lives of our children and our grandchildren. If you have not recognized it yet, realize that the fight is on. More now than ever before in our lifetime. If you're really going to make a difference in this world, you have to get mad. I'm talking about mad at the devil. We must become angry at what the devil is doing. if we're ever going to change things, we will never become aggressive for God until we are angered by the works of the devil. How then do you change things? First of all, you pray. And you make sure your heart is right. And then you ask God for the strategy on a daily basis. As a child of God, listen, poverty and lack should make us angry. Sickness and disease should make us angry. Being tolerant of sin should make us angry. It should make us angry then when we're told that we should be quiet and accept the status quo. And we are even called, sadly, we're called domestic terrorists because we believe in America, and we believe in sovereignty, and we believe in the flag, and we believe in the Constitution. It should make us angry when we're told that we are weird because we believe that the true biblical standard of marriage is between one man and one woman. Oppression and abuse and prejudice and injustice certainly should make us angry. Even political correctness and accepting the way things are ought to make us angry. I don't know what stirs you up, but listen, when anger is properly focused, it becomes an energy and a power for change. When you get really full of the Holy Ghost, it will do something to your makeup. It alters your attitude. You can't just sit idly by a minute longer while the devil destroys lives. There's something about the Holy Ghost anointing that puts steel in your backbone and fire in your veins, and you just cannot sit still, Brother Tony, any longer. You have to take action. You have to gather up your spiritual artillery and go into battle. When you get full of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, listen, sin will make you angry. The lion of the tribe of Judah who resides in you will make you roar. When you see people's lives destroyed by the devil, it'll stir you up. It'll make you angry when you read where babies are still being aborted every year in the last trimester. How sad is that? And their body parts been sold to the highest bidder, and now they're allowed to be left to die even after they are born. It'll make you angry then to see people still dying of transmitted diseases. I've said it before, but there's something wrong when sin no longer angers us. There's something wrong when we can see the effects of sin and it no longer angers us. There's something wrong when we can see someone hooked on drugs and bound by lust and it doesn't affect us. When you know that sin then is damning souls to an eternal hell, and it doesn't make us aggressive to stand up and tell them the truth. Even with his supernatural strength, listen, Samson was no threat to the enemy until he got angry. When Samson got angry, something was getting ready to happen. You better believe it. Anger motivated Samson. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 11 and 12, you can read it for yourself, we find the story of a man named Shammah who had a piece of ground full of lentils, the Bible says. And actually, it was just simply a pea patch. And as was their custom each season, the Philistines would come to destroy his harvest. When Shammah's friends saw the Philistines coming, they ran for their lives. This time they expected Shammah to run because, you see, he had always run before. But this time was different. He was not running again. Something has changed. something snapped inside of Shammah, and he made up his mind that he was not leaving this time. This is my land. This is my harvest, and I'm not leaving it this time. He finally got angry. He was angry at the Philistines, and he was angry at himself. He was so mad that he decided, I might die today, but if I die, I'll die fighting for what belongs to me. Shammah decided it's worth it. The scripture found in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 12 says he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. I believe I can speak for every one of us here this morning when I say our families are worth fighting for. How about for us individually? Anybody believe that your health is worth fighting for? Anybody believe your ministry, your dreams, and your vision is worth fighting for? Is there anybody then like Shammah who would say, the last time was the last time. I'm not running this time. I'm not going to hide in a cave any longer and watch the enemy destroy everything that I've worked for, everything that I've prayed for, everything that I've sweated over and cried over. Can we then this morning determine anew that we're going to press in? Can we determine to change then our posture? To not live another day on the defensive and not live constantly reacting at what the enemy is doing or saying, but determine that this, from this point on, I'm the initiator. From now on, I'm the aggressor. Remember, we have the right and we have the authority as believers, and we have the power, Brother Tony, to act. We have God's Word and His Spirit to back us up. We have the power of the blood of Jesus and the power of the name of Jesus to back us up. Jesus tells us then, it's recorded in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Listen now, more than ever, we need to realize how important it is to know who we are in Christ Jesus, and then let the enemy know. We can look at Job, who lost everything, but who stood faithful to God and said even after he had tried, he would still come forth as pure gold. And the Bible tells us he did recover after having a little talk with God, and God having a big talk with Job. The eyes then of his understanding were opened, and he repented, and he recovered then everything that was taken from him. The Bible says he got back double, richer than he ever was before. And I believe this morning that God is raising up a remnant then of men and women who are going to be more than just occasional church attenders. I believe he's raising up some extreme, over-the-top, radical believers who have come from their war room with a right-now prayer strategy to win the battle. Do we have any over-the-top believers this morning? Amen. So this morning, why don't we decide then that we're going to become the aggressor? Get aggressive concerning the things of the kingdom. Get aggressive and get on the offense and standing against the enemy. Listen, when it comes to yourself and to your family and even your church family, let's press in and determine that in 2021, no matter who is in the White House, we will not just walk in victory, but we will live in victory. And that we will not just survive, but thrive as we carry out the plans and the purposes of our Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you right now. I thank you for your word that you reminded us, Lord, of who we are and what we have available to us as blood-bought believers. I thank you today for all that you've done for us. I thank you that you promise to be with us through everything that goes on in our lives. I thank you that you have given us a promise that you'll protect us and provide for us and lead us even in the days to come. Thank you for what you've already done in our lives. Thank you for what you're doing today in our lives. And I thank you for what lies ahead. I praise you this morning. Lord, I just thank you for every person that's watching this broadcast. Those that watch it at a later date, Lord, I thank you for them. I lift them up to you, Lord, to speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to search our hearts. I want my heart right before you. I want a clean heart. I want to be that pure vessel. Yes, you know that we will make mistakes as long as we're in this flesh. But I thank you that you've given us your mercy and your grace that's available to us every morning. I thank you today. I speak blessings over this body and those that are watching. And I thank you. I give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I love you. God bless you. We'll see you next time.